Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Today is November 10th, 2021, and we're here at the Gateway Center in Metro Atlanta in Georgia. My name is Daniel Enger, and I have the pleasure of being here today with you, ma'am, and your three young daughters. Thank you all very much for taking time to talk. I'm looking forward to hearing your story and to learning from you. Ma'am, my first question for you is a really big one, namely, could you please tell the story of your life from the time you were a little girl up to the present day?
Okay. Well, as a little girl, I was very adventurous. I was always running around playing, trying to see what I could get into. Whether it was like going and exploring in the woods, broken down houses, some stuff that most kids didn't typically do, but it made my childhood fun. It made people think of doing different things as well, as opposed to just the normal kitty pet games. We did those too. As I got older, though, hold on, let me go back a little bit. So I have two parents, my mother and my father. They were divorced when I was younger. But my father, he still kept close contact with his children. Don't touch that, please. Thank you, ma'am. He still kept close contact with his children. My mother, she was very hands-on. I wouldn't say she was a workaholic, but she just, you know, went out her way to make sure she did what, you know, whatever it was that we needed to keep the family close and, you know, to help other people. She was big on that too, trying to help people in the neighborhood as well. So, like, she started volunteering in, like, the rec centers and stuff like that. You know, etiquette for young women. Now, as I get older, I've kind of changed. All of the change hasn't always been planned change, because as growing up as a kid, I thought I had a specific view for my life. But sometimes I learned you gotta roll with the punches.
Thank you. Ma'am, of all of the things that you've accomplished or overcome in your life so far, what are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of so far? Well, I guess the thought would be to mainly say, oh, my kids, I am. But I am very proud of you, so don't take offense to this when I say this. But my strive to continue to grasp at more out of life.
Ma'am, you've gained a lot of hard-fought wisdom in your life so far. If you were invited to share your wisdom with school kids in your community to give them guidance to live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives, what would you tell kids in a school in this area?
Kids. I can tell you what I tell my children before. Math and your reading has to be up to par, especially with the youth. They like to be I can't say all of them. But some of them do like to be flashy, so they like the cars and the jewelry. And I said, you know, you do all this work to accomplish what you need. You want your purses and your nice house or whatever, your business. Now, if you can't read, you can't, you know, do your math, then anybody could get in and miscalculate some stuff for you. And mess you up. You don't want that, so you make sure you stick to your studies. But those are the two most important, I think.
Ma'am, in what ways would you say your life is going well these days? Please talk a little bit about how life is good for you at the present time.
How life is good for me. My faith. My faith is always, it's something that always pulls me through. Because no matter what I'm going through, God always seems to give me a sign that I'm going in the right direction. Even though sometimes the journey is hard, you still have to go through whatever path life sends you. And again, it's a learning experience. You're supposed to pick up things along the way, not just from what you go through, but what you see other people go through as well.
What led to those things going well for you? How did that happen? Or who or what has contributed most to your doing well these days?
Not doing well. Well, that's back to my faith again. People always ask me, well, do you just stop and get irritated or just focus on the negative? I don't. My mother, she's big on being in the Bible. And, you know, she used to sit, I remember, in a huddle and read to us. And then my father, he's actually the son of a pastor, Christian religion. But he ended up becoming a bi. So I grew up with both religions. But just, I don't know, being around that atmosphere of people and seeing them do so much more. I don't know, it's the thing about the distance, but it's so close. At the same time, it keeps me in the mindset of to strive.
Ma'am, looking ahead, looking to the future, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, what are your hopes and dreams looking ahead?
Ooh, they are, excuse me, I get paused at times. There are a multitude of dreams and goals that I have. Let's see. Here's one that is related. I want a foundation of my own for kids who've been mistreated or are homeless, because that's one thing with being in this situation that I've come to realize. There's more resources for men than there are for women or just children. And like the structure of it all, I have my own critiques here and there where I think it could be better. Yeah, that's all, really. So it'll be like somewhere they could come and, you know, sleep, of course, have something to eat, but I also want them to be able to learn work etiquette, how to manage a budget, savings, and also to push more people to go to college or at least technical college. You know, help them decide what's the best career path, whether it's going in the military or, you know, whatever. I always want them to feel like they could come back, you know, and feel at home, even though it was a place where you just, I don't know, the first step to having like a nurturing situation out of a bad situation.
Ma'am, as you pursue those hopes and dreams, What are some of your personal strengths that you draw on?
My personal strengths. Personal strengths are could I call my children personal strengths?
Sure.
No, it's a joke. Actually, it is one of them. Because I'm very family oriented. Now, I am the youngest out of all my brothers and sisters. And I have like 9 brothers and sisters. So just being in one of those households where it's a big family and everybody's around laughing, playing cousins, thank you. Sit in your seat, please, ma'am. I'm fidgeting so much. The need to be a better mother. I don't know. Not to say I'm not a bad mom, but I just like kinda. Excuse me, I'm getting very distracted. Oh Lord, Jesus. Cut. Yes.
Ma'am, what are some of the challenges and obstacles that you see standing between you and the realization of your hopes and dreams? What holds you back?
Now that goes into what I was stating before. My situation is very different than some people that I've encountered. I haven't heard anybody talk about my type of situation, or maybe they're just too scared to talk about it. I don't know, because I've had some people come up to me and state things over the years, but I think it might be a little bit more common than people realize if they just feel comfortable enough to open up and talk about it. Now, are you familiar with psychics?
I'm sorry?
Psychics.
I am.
You believe in them?
Well, I believe I have a lot to learn about everything.
Okay. So sometimes, well, let's go back. My pastor was a psychic, and she's a sweet lady. She gives her all to everybody in the community, whether it's, stop it, please, whether it's feeding people, whether it's helping people in prisons. She's the sweetest lady ever, you know. But I remember she used to sit and look at me and give me like little notes in my head. Hold on, I'm being paused. She said she didn't do that. I got a pause on that. See, now that's the problem. It's been other psychics contacting me. I've been being shielded for a long time. Back when I was a child, I used to have very strong sight. She verbally said this to me, so this part I do remember. She told me that it was just, she didn't see anything. So it was a block put up there, but I remember the exact day it was there. I'm gonna pass by that. This psychic connection and people being able to come in and improperly utilize your energy or what's going on with you and the atmosphere around you, it can be very, it can affect you, whether it be your finances or your career. if it's utilized in the wrong way. That's why I try to stay as a peaceful natured person and kind of not get too mixed up in the wrong situation. If that makes sense. So that's what's kind of put me in this situation. It's gotten stronger now than it has ever before. But this is something that has been at play for a long time. And I'm just trying to find ways to deal with it and cope and continue to move on and parent, keep my children together. That's plus dealing with the homeless situation. It's very hard. At times, I try to I just try. That's really all you can do.
Ma'am, you've just spoken about some challenges and obstacles. How can they be overcome so that you can realize your hopes and dreams?
Good energy. Good people. Sometimes when the door gets jammed, you kind of need somebody to pull from the side. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that, is it? Jesus had disciples. So, what's going on with you? Now, two of his questions, would you like to answer? Okay, do you want to ask them or no?
Well, we just took a short break, and during that break, I understand that, ma'am, two of your daughters, two of the three who are here, are keen to share their thoughts on their hopes and dreams for the future. Ladies, the floor is yours.
Okay, so do you want to go first?
No, you're good.
Okay. So, since I was little, I've always wanted to do a lot of things, like dancing, singing, modeling, and acting. But some of those things I don't really want to do anymore. And when I was in Atlanta, before we even had this situation, I saw a lot of people who needed help, a lot of people who deserved help. I saw people who were hurt, people who weren't recognized by others, people who were abused. And since then, I wanted to help them. At first, I was like other people and didn't notice, which I regret. And in the future, I want to help other people. As I get older, I hope to adopt some children and invest in orphanages and places like this. I hope to make more places for people. I hope to fill the earth back with its greenery, because there's so much toxic stuff in this world now. And I hope that everyone in the future can be happy, and what I hope for will come true, because you don't actually know what it's like until you've been through it. It's cold, it's dark. Sometimes you don't even know where to go. You're lost, and you don't know you always feel like someone's following you or watching you. It's scary. It's eerie. It hurts. A lot of things hurt. A lot of things you can't afford. It's hard to find food. And a lot of people these days need good jobs that pay a lot. So I hope in the future I could not only help people, but help this earth as well.
You're a wonderful girl. You're a wonderful girl. Thank you very much for sharing those ideas.
We just took another break. I know that another of your daughters, ma'am, is keen to share her thoughts on her hopes and dreams. Tell me, please, about your hopes and dreams.
Well, my hopes and dreams, I wanted to help homeless people when I was like very, very little, because I saw so many that was struggling, and you know, and I saw it was hard for them, so I wanted to help them a lot. Because that's the kind thing to do, and I'm kind.
Yeah, she wanted to do this as her birthday present, actually.
And I would like to really help them, because I don't want anyone to be struggling. He saw it was very hard, and as I grew up, I thought to like make
You're doing great.
Make things that is very useful, and some things that's useful and playful, and I thought I could.
What kind of things are you thinking about that would be useful and playful?
Well, like to make like basic
what is something that homeless people need that you see?
Houses and cars and money. But I thought when I grow up or when I'm still a kid, I could just make something that is like soap slime, basically. So it's like soap, but it's basically slime. And it's very playful and useful. And when you wet it, it won't get too like wet or anything. And it won't dry up. It'll just harden a little bit. When you like put it in water, it could undry, and it could fit in anything. And it's very stretchy. And I can make box slime. It smells like boxes. And some people wanted to like smell the things of boxes on slime, like in the slime boxes. Cause I thought that was very good. And making like water slime, like water bottle slime. Cause it will like help people a lot. And it will be basically edible and clear. Because some people wanted to play with slime plus eat it and drink it. And when you bite into it, the clump you got, and you bite into it again, then it will like turn into water and you could just drink it. And was making, I can make cereal slime, which is like you could put cereal slime into cereal, then you could eat it. But if there was like this like thing that could hold it up a little bit, and then you could grab it, then you could suck on it, and it'll like it could like hold up cereal, and it'll make the cereal taste very good. I want to make edible slime for people that can't really taste milk and stuff because they're allergic. And I thought I could make slime paintings, like paint, so you could form it. So whatever, like thing you think of, it could form onto the slime, and you could take a bite out of it.
Well, ma'am, I enjoyed learning from your daughters just now. I have some more questions for you now, this time to learn about your perspectives, please, on the homeless community in Atlanta. First of all, how would you describe the homeless community in Atlanta? Who are the people who make up the homeless community in Atlanta?
Well, you can't just, you can't just put people all in one huddle, like one collective group, because it's different people from all type of different walks of life. The typical that people think of when they first see people that are homeless are the people who are on drugs or just trying to live off the system. And that is not the case. I have seen some people from very wealthy families. I've seen some old school artists, singers, come through the shelter. Wives of artists who are in abusive situations just trying to escape what they're in. Let me see, who else have I seen? People coming in from other places getting stuck. let me think, who else? I've seen military wives. Yeah, military wives. It's all type of people. All types.
When it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, how would you describe the hopes and dreams of people in the homeless community?
Living a healthy life. Well, first, to be healthy in a homeless situation, is that key word, home. You need a safe place where you can go and lay your head at night and don't have to worry about somebody leering over you. I've heard several incidents over the time period from different people. But yeah, that's where it starts. Having food, clothes on your back that don't have holes in them, you know, stuff like that.
In the homeless community in Atlanta, what are some of the strengths that people draw on as they strive to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives?
I think that is up to each individual, actually. Everybody's goal set is different. Some people can have a natural sense to strive and have that tunnel vision to get out of the situation they're in. But some of them are going through a depression situation, medical situations. And I'm saying if they don't really receive the help that they need or just the kind tone from the right person at that time, it can be very discouraging. It can be very discouraging.
Ma'am, what are some of the challenges and obstacles that make it harder for people in the homeless community to realize their hopes and dreams? What holds people in the homeless community in Atlanta back?
Well, maybe two or three things that I see so far. I know it's hard on the people who work the system. therapy sessions might be good for them personally, but also for the people who are going through it, because they tend to clash. You always having people come in your face and yelling and screaming, and then they start retaliating back, but not being an understanding of, you deal with this at work. Yes, we understand you have to be stern with certain people because certain people are rough and they just come in for what they want, and what they want is what they want. But you also have to be considerate of those that they're just really having a hard time, especially if they have gone through so many different processes of trying to get something accomplished and they keep getting met with the same backlash. It's hard. And so, that's one. I'm kind of getting paused again. Another one is, I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? My mind kind of is getting thrown off.
Yes, ma'am. What are the challenges and obstacles that make it harder for people in the homeless community in Atlanta to realize their hopes and dreams? What holds people back? You said you were thinking of two or three different things.
Yeah, so that's one. Holds people back. Also, to better daycares for people who have children or work programs. Yeah. That. Some of the programs do set up goal plans, but the things needed to, you know, get over certain obstacles or hurdles for those goal plans needs to be implemented as well.
Ma'am, what needs to be done so that the challenges and obstacles you just talked about can be overcome and people in the homeless community can realize their hopes and dreams? You talked about the clash between two different groups. You talked about a need for daycare, for example.
Okay, yeah. So, like I was saying, the therapy. Not for just the people who go through the system, but the people who work the system as well. You can actually sit right there for a second. Just sit right there for a second. Is she coming in? Is she in the door?
No.
Make sure she comes in the door. You can't leave her out there. Oh, she's in the door. Okay, just stay right there for a second. Therapy for both parties because, okay, you have police officers or doctors who train to do what they do. But, I mean, the same thing applies to people who do this job. As far as caring for homeless people, because again, you get people from all different types of walks of life. I've seen a lady who came through one time and she had really bad seizures. She was a fair-skinned woman. So her seizures used to get so bad to where she would like just pass out on the floor. But it was to the point where her rings around her eyes were charcoal black. It was really bad, and they would just keep bringing her back here, instead of those immediate situations where those people should be bumped to top priority list. People with mental illnesses. Give it to me. Thank you. Now go and sit down. People with mental disabilities. Maybe having a program where they have people to doctors or something sign off to help diagnose people or like get a record of diagnosis so that, because if you're like, for instance, schizophrenic and you're talking to you're 12 different people. You don't know who you are, let alone where you are from day to day. And then again, for the working mothers, not just the daycare for the little kids, but the older kids as well need something, because how is the parent expected to work if they have nowhere to put their kids unless the kids go to work with the parents? And there's labor laws against that. So, you know, it kind of puts you in a stuck position unless they have some type of programming set up for you.
Ma'am, imagine for a moment that you're a powerful leader, a decision maker who can really make things happen. As a powerful leader, how would you change the system to help people in your community, in the homeless community in Atlanta, to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? You're a powerful leader. How would you change the system?
Change the system for homeless people to live lives. Okay. Can you stop, please? Mari, can you stop, please? Thank you. Can you sit on the floor? Behave and try to be as quiet as possible. You can sit on the floor Indian style like you do at the gym. But I'm sorry. Now, I understand the funneling of money is a big concern. Where is the money coming from? Is it taxpayers? Is it nonprofit organizations and how they work? If you do have the people here working, then I can understand some of the money getting funneled. It would have to be in agreement to the person who's in the situation. But also, too, it has to be at some point enough where they can make money to get out of the system. And maybe even if it's good enough for people, you have those people who are willing to come back and donate, or it could be a contract agreement that you come back and donate a certain percentage. To get it to where you're working hard, of course, you can't work hard if your feet is hurting, if your back is out, you know. So a good place to sleep, of course, nutritional values, but I don't know. Some of these places around Atlanta, I know they have vacant buildings. I just was walking with my daughters over near Morris Brown. There's a couple of other colleges off of MLK. It's a building over there that has been vacant for years. And it looked like it might have been an apartment, maybe an old office building. They have also, this guy was telling me earlier this week, they have it where he's irritated because they're cutting down so many forests, and it's detrimental to our environment that we keep, you know, those green lands, that way we can still breathe good air, you know. How about taking some of that and giving it back to the community? That gives jobs for people who are homeless and people who aren't homeless. You know? And I think that would be a good place to start.
So, ma'am, I understand we're in for a real treat right now, because you and all three of your young daughters have an answer to the following question. Namely, imagine you had $1 million and you could spend it to help the homeless community to realize their hopes and dreams. To help the homeless community in Atlanta, how exactly would you spend $1 million?
Well, I would give them houses, cars, and some of the money I have, and I would give them stuff that is very useful. And
what kind of useful things would you give the homeless?
Like soap, tissue, houses, cars, food, money, bank accounts, and food stamps and more. And clothes, especially clothes.
Okay. What I would do with $1 million. Well, I explained a little bit of that in the last video, but mostly I agree with Lulu's decision, but I also agree that it shouldn't be used on like just the homeless. Like, because I think because Atlanta these days and in the past has been really dirty, and I think I can and I think I'd spend my $1 million not just to help people but to clean Atlanta, make it like a better place for people to live, make it easier. Not only that, I think what I'd most likely want to spend my $1 million on is the family I'll have in the future.
$8 million. Let's see. I guess I really don't know right now. I think it's something that needs to be thought out over time. We're good planning. I don't know right off. Because there's so many different people that need so many different things. So I would have to, think about it for a minute. I don't know. I like to kind of get a list together and plan it all out. Like I said before, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. It just has to be set up just right.
I would do with $1 million. I would buy the homeless their own houses, and I would give them money every day for them to go shopping for food and clothes, and in each house there would be a school in each house, and there would be a poster board that I could put up job applications every day, and I would buy them their own houses, and when they're ready, they can move out.
Well, you guys, I thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure to spend time with you. It's been a great pleasure to learn from you guys. I really appreciate you, and I hope that you understand that what you just did is going to help a lot of people. Thank you all very much.
What do you all say?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good day.